That's the sound that I need. And it goes a little something like this.
One theme that I'm thinking a lot about right now is, I think there's this cultural fear. We see it a lot around, don't say it, don't talk about privilege, don't freak the white child out. So because of that cultural fear, it, like in the research that I've done to write the book, I definitely found a level of silence among white parents of white children. So I think, you know, what we can do now is really help caregivers understand that helping their white child know the story of resistance and the story of movements of people coming together that are always so diverse, but movements that are led by people of color. And how do you take a back seat and be quiet and learn? I mean, even that shift, those kinds of learnings, that's what I'm really interested in right now, is sort of being quieter and helping people of privilege learn how to be a little quieter. And that's, I think that's going to be a big challenge for us. But it's, I think it's important. I think that's a big way to support.
Hello.
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 Hello. And welcome to Microsoft Ignite.
Hello.
We've got a big day ahead and lots in store for you. First, we want to acknowledge that the land where the Microsoft campus is situated was traditionally occupied by the Sammamish, the Duwamish, the Snoqualmie, the Suquamish, the Muckleshoot, the Snohomish, the Tulalip, and other Coast Salish peoples since time immemorial. A people that are still here, continuing to honor and bring to light their ancient heritage. My name is Allison Wines. I'm a senior program manager in our developer tools division. I'm an Asian and white female with dark brown hair wearing a red sleeveless top.
And I'm Seth Juarez, program manager in the AI platform group. I'm a tall Hispanic male wearing a blue shirt, khaki pants. Today we kick off 2 days of learning more about the latest solutions, exploring how these key innovations can empower you to do great things, and connecting with peers from around the world.
A mistake looking back, because you know the infrastructure bill that was passed was cleaved apart from what's now being called Build Back Better, and in a sense it's a bill that's like a white guy employment act, right? There's going to be a lot of working class men that are going to get employed by that bill, but that's the very cohort that is much more likely to reward Republicans for that. That's who they vote for. Most, you know, working class white guys vote Republican. Meanwhile, all the stuff for
Laboratory leak. Yeah. Laboratory leak.
Yeah, and I'm going to do that. Okay, where's you looking at?
God. Brought to you by
Meepa. At Davos a few years ago, you know, the Edelman survey showed us that the good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more, so we can come together and design and do beautiful things together. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less. So we can lead, but
and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday, happy Freya's Day. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us here today. I'm Henrik.
Who are you over there?
I'm Lana. Yes, I've got a little bit of a sore throat, but I'm going to make it.
Based.
Folks.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Good to be back with you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're at day three today of Pride Month. Hope you're having a wonderful Pride Month wherever you are. Lots of gay things happening in your life. Lots of flags and all
not
these
around
kinds
here,
of things,
thankfully.
Right?
Yes.
They're working real hard to change that, mind you. All right. Anyway, good to see you all. So if you want to join in today, ladies and gentlemen, as we do on Fridays here, we do live stream Wednesdays as well. But entropystream.live/redicetv, I should say, right? Red Ice TV, and that my shortcut dropped again. All right. What do we have else? Odyssey, of course. We're live there. We're live on Rumble as well. They do have Super Chats enabled over there. And then what else do we have? We have the Power Chat, right, Lana?
Yes, we do.
What is the URL for that again?
Powerchat.live/redice.
Perfect.
Yes.
Lots to talk about today. As usual, it's kind of, as the title implies, definitely some black pills here today. We'll put this in perspective later on. But the reality is, we're not gonna sit here and lie to you. Okay, we're not gonna say everything's going great, guys. I don't think you need us to tell you that, frankly. But look, there's some dark storms here gathering on the horizon, and they're heading not only our way, all of ours way. And so we're gonna cover some of that. There's some other stuff regarding the crazy gun grab things continuing. That's of course part of these dark storm clouds and the black pills, obviously, right? But be not discouraged. We gotta understand and accurately surmise where this is going in order to prepare accordingly. And then also use these opportunities to jump on them to do things that actually changes things for the
That's
good.
Right.
So we'll get to that. But anyway,
yeah.
As we said, Pride Month again. What do we have? Oh, wait, actually, do you want to? So we had some, I think the JIDF and the Hasbro,
they were all over the comments.
Trolls
on this.
Have been out.
Trolls and fakes are out on all the comments and these alt tech platforms. And obviously, we're attacking my latest guest, KP, who's a beautiful young girl. She's only like 22 years old, okay? Got to give her credit. She's a Christian. We can disagree on that. I know people have issues with that. There's a disconnect when it comes to Christians who are aware of the tribe. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, a pretty young girl speaking out against anti-white culture, feminism, criticizing Israel first, talking about who controls the media, is a net positive. And at the end of the day, who doesn't want pretty young white girls talking about starting families and naming subversive groups, huh?
Well, I saw I mean, look, I get it. You could be annoyed or whatever. That's fine. But like how the voice, like the pitch at the end of her sentences was annoying. And this is like a Valley Girls. And like, you just played a clip with Susan Wojcicki before this.
Oh, she's like the Jewish Valley Girl.
That's like a Valley Girl. This was.
Oh, my God. We're censoring and we're banning people on YouTube.
Like, but again, the most important thing is, of course, not. I mean, I understand the presentation matter, but look, it's the content that matters. And again, I mean, it's like 80% there or whatever. That's good. That's as you said, that's a net positive. We'll take that. But anyway, so most of it's weird because I saw a number of other chats, like randomly, like some guys' Telegram channel, some guys' other YouTube, and it was like, man, everyone is attacking each other. And it was something like, hey, did someone like flip the switch here all of a sudden? But yeah, anyway.
Oh, like Odyssey and BitChute and all those places.
Yeah, Telegram.
Stuff, yeah.
And it was like lots of just like intentionally kind of driving wedges and like fighting over issues and whatever, like the little disagreement that might exist. Like, let's drive that wedge as deep as we can, you know, kind of thing.
No, I think it's great, though, that there are Christians, a lot of Christians who are getting on board with, you know, being against the Israel First movement. That's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right? Right.
Yes, absolutely. No, again, I mean, that's totally fine. We should have discussions about, religion and all that kind of stuff. But, as we've said, we're folk before faith.
And
therefore we mean that meaning we don't care in that sense if the person is a Christian or not. We're actually extending that like hand. And furthermore, again, look, I'm sure there's only very few that are actually like kind of genuine in their criticism. Not criticism, but like attacks, I guess. Criticism is fine. We encourage that, obviously, or debate the issues. Why is your position better? Obviously, these are healthy discussions we want to have, right? But if it just, you got to teach, not torch, right? You don't scream and drive away. You reach across those lines and say, hey, you know, we're nice people, we're reasonable, and we think this way, think about this or whatever, and you know, that's how you do it.
I can also understand both sides. Sorry, I'm a little ill, so my brain's not functioning correctly today. But I can also understand both sides of the argument, because I was also raised Christian, you know, and I was her age, I was Christian.
Right.
There were certain things that I just never heard about until later on in life, so I always try and keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's fine. Just a few words about that. It's fine. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you, of course. But yeah, so that's what happens sometimes when you. I guess it just shows like JIDF and these. They're actually scared of two women talking.
They it's really like, are.
Oh my God, shut it down.
Notice it anytime I have an attractive female on and we're talking about things and naming certain things. It always becomes an issue, you know.
Yeah.
And I love to do that. I love to trigger them.
Oh, it's
that.
Great.
It's so much fun.
Look, it's good to stir the pot a little bit. It's controversies. There's nothing wrong with that. It's totally fine. So you know. But anyway, I think if you attack on substance, that's okay. But if it's just kind of weird, like shallow, like what does this got to do with anything, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
Should you gotta have some tact, right? You gotta have some tactic strategy, think long term, think of the bigger picture. All right. Anyways, so with that out of the way, we are in day three, as you said, of
out with Ukraine, in with the rainbow.
That's right. Yeah, I saw this combination too, by the way. The gay pride flag, the something like this that we're looking at here soon. Basically, you're going to have a severe seizure soon here when you look at the gay flag and the various icons that they have to describe the different groups and things like that.
Oh yeah, it gives me a headache already.
Yes, that's basically the intent, right? Remember they added the Ukraine colors for fun on a meme, and then I saw it was actually someone who actually had done it. So the meme, once again, predictatory, is that correct? Accurately, the meme accurately manages to predict reality, right? So anyway, they added that in, and then all these other weird colors and stuff. But and of course, the big companies, guys. You can't forget that, right? We have Google, of course. You know the Google Doodle famous thing, right? They always have a big issue with this. They had the finding belonging in the LGBTQ+ space.
So why are we still having all these celebrations and acting like they're oppressed when every year we see all of corporate America and all the government, you know, signaling how much they love gays and what's the IA? We were talking about that the other day, and there's also intersex and asexual, and then they just keep adding more to this alphabet soup. But then I hear some of the LGBTQ saying, well, they're just doing it for the money. Well, they're doing it because it's popular, because it's trendy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be making money from it. So that's just a dumb argument.
Of course, all the big. I think generally, a lot of these people actually come to believe what they are preaching, right? I mean, here's Dell, right? Huge companies, right? Celebrating Pride, more important than ever. Here's Alison Drew, who wrote this piece, right? And of course, she's the global marketing strategist, Dell, right? This is just a corporate signaling, right? That this is. But I also genuinely think a lot of these people are not like, that's good for the bottom line. It's like, no, I'm making a difference in the world. You know what I mean? Gotta love those all those signaling women on these boards and in power positions within corporations. But of course, we also have these guys joining in, right? Here's the New Jersey Goop. GOP.
Every year, it's more of these
conservatives, right, coming out. And that's what the title of that.
Well, you know what they say about anal sex. Help win the culture war, right?
Yeah, I mean they've already won it. I guess it was just full dildo mode. That's how they did it. And look at this. Here's some great stuff here. And this is gold, right? You got to put this in perspective, right? Think of all the shit now with the inflation and the economy being in the tank, the price like crazy stuff, right? And we played Wednesday that clip with Secretary Janet Yellen, right, of the Secretary of the Treasury, where she said, oh, I was wrong about inflation. Remember? Like, she went on CNN and all the media circuit.
She can't
the mainstream.
Be that dumb. She's just plain dumb.
I mean, look, you can never, it's possible, right? They could be this dumb, and that's why they got that job. But at the end of the day, I think there's definitely someone on the inside there that understands. just lie, just say everything's fine, just cover it up as
and
long
never
as you
mind
can,
what right? we do because we support gays and anti-racism.
Exactly, that's just it, right?
Yeah, hate white people, so it's all good.
That's what it is. Just signal hard and they'll approve you. That's what this is about, right? For the first time in our history, she says, Treasury is displaying the pride flag to express our solidarity with LGBTQP2S+ Americans during Pride Month.
It's waiting for the P.
It's coming.
Already there. It's the silent P at the end of that.
That's right. U.S. Treasury remains committed to DEI, diversity, equity, and equal opportunity for all. But those, you're going to do something about the economy? Screw that shit. That's we're not doing that here. Anyway, so that's gold when that comes, right? And this old guy, poopy pants, senile brain. Biden gives bizarre inflation speech full of obvious lies. On Friday, President Joe Biden stood in front of the world and regurgitated so many lies that one has to wonder if his speechwriter borrowed Hunter's pipe. For starters, Biden suggests that, and we'll play this, right? Families are carrying less debt and their average savings are up.
Right.
This is actually what he said here.
With food and gas and high rent. Yeah, right.
Let me see. I had some issue with Twitter not loading. That'd be a damn shame if I can't get that to work in all of a sudden. Is that what's going to happen here? Can you do a song and dance, Lana? You're in a good mood here? Well, no,
Michael 5070E says, Hail Henrik and Lana, hail Arvoke, hail the gods, hail blessed Freya's tag. By the way, I still have your coin right here. I keep it up here, Freya. I love it. It's really nice. Fun.
Thank you.
Shadow Government, how did you choose the name Red Ice?
Oh, we're doing this now?
That's on the website.
It is on the website. Opposites.
Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice.
Forces of creation.
That's right.
Danunga Gap.
That's the whole short story. Check out redice.tv/about and you read the right there. Thank you, though. Appreciate
Conservative Thinker, have you seen Matt Walsh's What is a Woman? I saw about it, but I haven't actually watched it yet. I'm sure it's entertaining, but I mean, that's kind of low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, in a way it is, I guess. It's bizarre.
No, women can have a penis. We talked about this on Weekend Warrior.
Yeah.
JP says, Henrik and Lana, I have a special going on at my bakery for Pride Month. I'm selling special cakes for LGBT with an amazing 3D frosting design of fire and brimstone on the top. I'm sure it will be well-received.
Nice. That's funny. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Look at it. It bothered to load. Let's listen what he... was that the last one? Do you want to do a couple more?
Nate?
Okay.
Since I took office, families are carrying less debt. Their average savings are up. A recent survey from the Federal Reserve found that more Americans feel financially comfortable than any time since the survey began in 2013.
Literally not true with the mass majority.
Holy
maybe people
shit.
In his circle, he means the like elitist Americans who have gotten richer from like COVID and Ukraine and all that bullshit.
Can we,
right?
Can we add that as a hyphen? Elitist American, right? Instead of woman American and gay American and African American.
Exactly. Because everyone else is living paycheck to paycheck.
Elite American. I like that. Let's run with it. Nope, the personal savings rate has plummeted while outstanding revolving consumer credit has sharply risen. You don't say, right? Since January 2021, right? You gotta put this in perspective. Like every time they say, like, oh, is there an issue? You know, and this is of course months too late or years in some cases too late. We're on it, they say. And then the more they get involved, the worse it gets. That's basically the intentional trajectory. And it's perfect, too, because they can blame this senile old, that was Biden, don't worry about it. While, of course, we know on the back end, this is a long damn plan that's been in motion for a long time. You got to crash the economy. You got to have some good chaos and crisis to bring in that central bank digital currency.
And then they'll get even richer, though, right? They'll crash things. They could buy up all the homes.
Absolutely.
It's always that way.
Yep, that's right. Is this more? Let me see here. Oh, this is the Putin price hike, right? This is from a while ago. Let's listen to it.
The two challenges on the minds of most working families are prices at the pump and prices at the grocery store. Both of these challenges have been directly exacerbated by Putin's war in Ukraine. The price of gas is up $1.40 since the beginning of the year when Putin began amassing troops at the Ukrainian border. This is a Putin price hike. Putin's war has raised the price of food because Ukraine and Russia are two of the world's major breadbaskets for wheat and corn, the basic product for so many foods around the world.
Yeah,
Ukraine has 20 million tons of grain in storage right now, and it's been in storage since the last harvest. Normally, that would have already been exported into the world market. But because of Putin's invasion and blockade of the port.
Maybe you shouldn't give $40 billion to Ukraine then, so you extend this conflict, right? I mean, like it or not, this is how America has acted on the international stage for decades now, right? It's like, we have bigger guns than you, get out of the way, do what we say, right? They invade. Look, it's shitty for the small country. I'm not saying that there would be, oh, that'd be great for Ukraine. I'm just looking at the reality of it, that if the elite haven't funded Ukraine and they actually sat down at the negotiations table and sorted this out, wouldn't that be better for everybody? Yeah. Less Ukrainians dead, less Russians
peace.
Dead, right?
We know that.
Anyway, so
and this other bullshit too of like relying on foreign countries for your food supply all the time. It's just like, absolutely. Come on, are we still doing this?
Yeah, this is like World Trade Organization bullshit, right? You need to buy chickpeas from this country, and you need to export zinc or whatever. Like getting involved in everything all the time.
It's always
wheat, and now
too.
Here we are. Of course, I mean it's a staple, right? And it's seed oils in Ukraine and stuff. But the point is not like, well, I don't eat that anyways. It's fine. The point is, that's what a lot of people eat. And when that's not there, they're going to go to the stuff that you do eat.
And then you find it's in everything, too. So then prices go up with everything.
Exactly. I know they did those stickers at the gas pump, right? I did this with Biden or whatever. I mean, it isn't him, but it's like a symbol. He's the fall guy. That's fine. I don't care. Can we do those so when the shelves are beginning, like maybe like a little 3 or like 2D, but you can like stand it up at some like, it's a thing on the side so you can lean back. Of Biden and saying I did this, and you can put that in the shelf when it's completely empty in the grocery store. You can just put that there. I think that would be a good idea, actually. All right, so crazy. I mean, complete just disconnected from reality altogether. And then we have yes, it's not working. Okay, super important here, right? Put everything in perspective right now. Biden's energy department calls for pride this month, next month, always, as gas price hit record high, gas prices. And here it is, the from the tweet here from energy.gov, right? We talked about the super computer they built here, the exaflop in Wednesday's show, the Department of Energy, overseeing the Human Genome Project. It's kind of an interesting agency, but of course they would go down this path as well, right? So Joe Biden's Department of Energy marked the first day of Pride Month by calling for Pride this month, next month, and always, as the gas prices skyrocket. Exactly, isn't it? Reaching another record high on Wednesday. The Energy Department said in a post to social media, making it clear that the DOE proudly celebrates Pride Month. Accompanying the brief statement is an image of the Progress Pride flag widely embraced by other federal agencies this year as well. The flag includes the traditional colors of the rainbow, but adds light pink, baby blue, and white for the transgender community, as well as black and brown for minority communities. There you go. All right. So what is the price here now? Here we go. The tweet coincides with another day of record-breaking gas prices, which jumped 5 cents overnight, reaching $4.67 for regular gas. Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, we talked about her many times, complete lunatic here, however, has remained in denial, telling Americans that they can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine. They've dropped these contracts. They have not initiated new drilling contracts, right? Alaska, all these places are just dropping everything. And then they're admitting that it's a transition, so they want this to happen, but then they're saying it's not really happening. But if it is happening, it's actually good. But there's no higher prices, though. Don't worry about that.
Well, you shouldn't be driving anyway. You need to be getting a $50,000 electric car on all that money you have saved right now.
Do you have any? Do you know how many barrels of oil it takes to manufacture a new car?
Oh, I know. And then the toxic batteries. I mean, this is who buys this stuff?
I don't know. I guess the gaslit still does, I guess, to a certain extent. But no, they've actually said that you're greedy. You're greedy. You're driving too much. You shouldn't be driving. What are you doing driving? What do you need driving for? You go to the grocery store, it's empty anyway. What do you just stay at home? It's not administration policies that have affected supply and demand, she claimed. All right. Anyway, complete idiots. Absolute insane, right? All right, so here's a little bit more on the economy here. And, of course, we don't like these people, but they are, to a certain extent, people you have to go to because they know the inside baseball, as it were. And by the time they reveal things to us initiated, the profane, the mundane, what do you call it again? Anyway, the profane, I guess. They have, it's gone a long, long way, right? So Jeremy Diamond, The head of J.P. Morgan said, brace yourself, it's a hurricane, as he predicts economic catastrophe. Corporate bankster Jeremy Dimon, head of one of the largest financial institutions in the world, warned of cataclysmic economic havoc.
That he's going to help create and profit from?
That they have, absolutely. Yeah. In large part due to the inevitable crash of Federal Reserve policy and runaway inflation. The J.P. Morgan CEO appeared at a recent conference and upgraded his forecast from storm clouds to an all-out tempest. This is what he said here. I said there were storm clouds, but I'm going to change that. It's a hurricane. Right now, it's kind of a sunny. Things are doing fine. Everyone thinks the Fed can handle it. That hurricane is right out there down the road coming our way. We don't know if it's a minor one or a superstorm. Or superstorm. Sandy, he says, right? So that's good, right? Encouraging. More
so
debt,
maybe houses
more inflation.
Will be cheaper so some people can actually buy one now?
Hmm.
Oh, they're not going to have any money to buy.
It's almost like they're signaling this because they just want this to kind of play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the whole system is, when you think about it, because of the insurmountable, like unpayable debts and things like this, it's built on faith. It's a faith-based system, right? Oh, well, consumers are still lending and they're borrowing and they're buying shit. And it's like, okay, well, everything, the wheel's going, right? Just print more money. But when they really openly start talking about it, then you know it's like, okay, now everybody's going to actually lose faith in that system, and then everyone, you know, stops.
It's like, right? They want to make it happen, right?
Yes, that's what I believe. And even our beloved new-based right-wing hero, Elon Musk, joking a little bit here, has said he has a super bad feeling about the economy. Tesla to cut staff. Can't he push in a little bit of his salary there, like a little bit of his wealth? To keep the... No. Tesla chief Elon Musk sent an email to executives announcing staff cuts and a worldwide hiring pause. He attributed the announcement to a super bad feeling he has about the economy. Is he not basing that more than just a feeling?
I'm sure he is, but they just like to quote him on that, right?
I know.
To make him look as dumb as possible.
Yes. So obviously this year the report comes in the wake of Musk facing backlash over... a message to staff demanding they return to the office. It also comes amid a tumultuous and gloomy global economic outlook. Look, and then they blame Russia and Ukraine again. That's funny. Deutsche Welt. All right. Anyway, so that's, you get the point. It's not really. He's feeling things are not going that great. But again, are these the guys that are going to kind of fare not that great when things happen like this? What do you think? $250 billion?
He'll be okay.
I think he'll be okay.
He'll be all right.
I think it's fine.
Conservative thinker says before this war is over, Zelensky will be handed over to Russia by his closet friends. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Zelensky is definitely one that deserves to go. You know what I mean?
Bear Mike, proud to be white and a new Red Ice member. Awesome. Mr. No here. Women like KP Richards are welcome in my circle. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg, for keeping our chats nice. Cheers, Lana and Henrik.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mr. Noseberg, and thank you, Bear Mike, as well. Awesome. Yeah, there was actually an article, I didn't bring it in, but there was an article where Zelensky was thanking Musk for the Starlink because he said that the connection
enabled him internet or something.
Well, not only that, he said it enabled us to win or fight back in the information war and hack. I think even hacking and things like this, like remaining online, basically. So anyway, you can...
One more. McDozer, yes. Thank you so much, says, know your enemy and what they're doing. Saul Alinsky, rules for radicals, right? Mm-hmm. You cannot win a fight without understanding who you're fighting. That's right.
Absolutely correct.
And that's sometimes why we have to go through the dark and heavy and depressing content, too.
Well, and they study us. They have, you know, lists. They have profiles. They even have supercomputers that have a little version of you in there. I'm not even joking. Like they have a replica of the real world, and it's just about gathering as much data as possible about everything, about everybody, about just feed this beast.
Yeah, and it's been the thing. The truth is, it's been bad for a long time. People are just starting to notice, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's getting worse and worse, but it's been bad for a very long time.
Oh, sure, absolutely. That's why we're here, right? Okay, let me check. See if I can click on the Odyssey. Been kind of slow too. Not the player like that, but the back end has been a little bit slow. Let me see here. White Wellbeing Advocates says, I read an article saying that VR, virtual reality, is the process of being used to teach how the non-whites experience racism. Is that what it is? Racism? Yeah, I think so. Through their perspectives firsthand. Let me see. Where did he go? And he just disappeared on me. Experience their perspective firsthand. It's really just through the anti-white lens. You know what? I think I saw something about this, that they were going to... they're beginning with virtual emotions or something like that. Like you can feel pain and pleasure, like all those kinds of things. And so part of the VR thing, I think you're right, that they want to use that to like basically program other people, right? You can give, well, you should, what if you've experienced things from the other point of view?
So putting it on white kids and like, here, you're going to experience the anti-black racism.
Right? Yeah, can you imagine? Yep. Portense, is that what it is? Let me zoom up here a little bit. Don't want to miss your name there. Where do we go? All the way up to the top here. Yeah, Portense, I think it is. Yeah, Portense. Thank you. Appreciate that donor, by the way, on Odyssey. If the debt burden destroys the federal government's ability to pay the bills, do you see a place for pro-white politics in what emerges from the ruins of the United States? Yeah, I think it's probably inevitable in a way that it won't always break down along those lines, but one of the common denominators, whether people are aware of it or not, and in fact, we have some stories on that later too, that's like, you might not see race, but race sees you. You know, it's like you can't get out of it, right? So yeah, I think a prison system in a way, because it was like it's emergency, it's like back to basics, it's like survival basically, right? A lot of people will align according to what race they are. Again, not everybody, not 100% probably, but a lot of people will. You know,
yep.
Tribal, gang. So at that point, yes, it's an opportunity to build something new. It's out of that. Out of those ashes, we have to, create that phoenix, basically, you know. All right, let me see what else we had here. So, again, keep in mind, as we're talking about the bad economy, right, all the crazy stuff that's happening right now, shortages, all that stuff, and, of course, now it's a record number of illegal immigrants that have settled in the U.S. since Biden came into office.
That's the ones that we know about, too. You know the number is always going to be much higher than what they tell you.
Yeah, so this article claims, or the study here that they write about, 1.35 million, right? So 1,350,000 illegal migrants just since he took office. What is that? Is that that's like, maybe someone knows in chat, but like a comparable city? Well, what would be, every year there's like a legal, what is it?
1 million legally a year. Yeah. I mean, this is just madness.
Yes.
Millions and millions coming in.
The U.S. has added more than 2 million immigrants to its population since President Biden took office in 2021. So it's like a little bit more than a year ago. Can you believe it? He's only been in for a year?
It feels like
And look at like just years. Frankly, even if it was Trump or not, they would have still driven this as hard they could into the ground. You know, but maybe he would just help some craziness. But who knows at this point? Doesn't matter. The vast majority of them are here illegally, according to a new report Wednesday that says most of the newcomers are arriving illegally. The surge is so, and then you have the conservatives who, well, just do it legally and we're fine, you know. The surge is so overwhelming that it's pushed up the project point at which the U.S. will have its largest ever share of immigrants, according to the Center for Immigration Studies. At the current pace of growth, 14.9% of residents will be immigrants as of sometime next year, topping the record set around the turn of the 20th century. That's half a decade earlier than the Census Bureau's last calculations, said Stephen A. Camerota, the center's director of research and lead author of this new report.
But the great replacement is just a conspiracy theory.
It's not really happening.
Right? There's no replacement. No one's replacing you. You'll still be here. Hope you won't. We hope that you breed yourself out and just kind of die off. And then we can have these new Americans come in.
Yeah, because it's going to be great. It's going to be really good. It's going to go real well, right? But again, don't fool yourself. That's quite intentional. But no, it's always down to this kind of hair-splitting definition, quagmire or quarrel, right? Well, they're not. You're still there, so they haven't replaced you. You're just living alongside them. The great alongside, you know, whatever you want to call that, right? Would they agree to that? I think they would, right? I mean, they're celebrating. They're so dumb that when people say the Great Reset, I've heard several media pundits now say there's nothing great about replacement theory. It's like that's not even how. Idiots. All right. So,
Let's see, Bill Biz, real quick. Appreciate, thank you so much. Appreciate the folk first emphasis of the interviews, and I could care less about religious differences. Excellent videos lately, as always. Thank you. Absolutely, thank you. Folk first. Conservative thinker, Palmgren 2024, make America Idaho. Yeah. That would take a lot of deportations politics. And repatriations.
Yeah, no, it's no. I appreciate it, conservative thinker. I appreciate it. It's fun, but oh my God, can you imagine? No, I mean, is there political? Yeah, I mean, so far, I think we can try, you know, politically. Not that I would, but like I'm talking about other people or someone who's like, yeah, maybe don't have
try it all
the baggage or whatever you want to call it. If you, I think it's a good thing that we're talking about these things. So I don't have a problem with it, but I'm saying from a mainstream point of view, there's like, oh, if you talk about, I don't know, whatever, that race exists, and again, we're being replaced, you're a baddie, right? But I think we are going to reach a point here soon where basically, like, at least in the interim, like, no, there's like, there's no reason to even work for this. I'd prep, and then I'd prepare a little bit more. And kind of prepare
otherwise,
a little
it's
bit
like
more,
right? Politics in a third world country. Like, where does it really get you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I know. It is a third world country. But at some point, I'm saying the circumstances will kind of like force, like, the, I mean, I think that it's going to grind to a halt, you know, basically, the system, right? So here's
that would actually be a good thing.
Yes, no, it had. Whatever, whenever, like, it needs to happen, like, rip off that Band-Aid, because it's going to happen sooner or later anyway. And in a way, the sooner the better, I guess, to a certain extent, but we still have somewhat the demographics on our side, right? So here, again, record number of migrants. Things are running out. There's nothing in the shelves. I mean, there are things, but you get what I'm talking about here. Like, there's supply chain issues. There are food shortages. There's warnings now. Now even the damn power grid is going to be shut down, right? Rolling blackouts in the Midwest projected.
How do they know that could happen, though? Are they anticipating these high temperatures because they're going to create them, or what?
I mean, sure, that's possible. I'm not out ruling that out. But the thing is, they know, because they know that demand is not only increasing, but the supply is decreasing. Because why? Well, they decommission power plants, they take out coal power plants, they take out you know, other power sources which are deemed you know, forbidden now, because we all have to you know, suck up the carbon out of the atmosphere and bury it underground because of global warming, basically, right? So it says here. I'm sorry, guys. Let me see here. I think the archived version of that would be better. Yes, no, that's not it. Let me see. Is the second one then? Sorry, guys. Where did that go? All right, that sucks. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Archive. Sorry, guys. Let me pull that in real quick. I wanted to read a line from it there. I think I showed a graph, actually, that they had come up with just the other day. Great picture of that, too. The power grid in the central United States could be forced to impose rotating blackouts on some of the hottest days of the summer due to rising demand and plant retirements, just as I said, right? Federal energy officials said in an online energy comment on Friday, extreme weather is causing, but yeah, here's where you're thinking, man. Okay, what do you mean extreme? What is extreme weather?
Anticipating drought and high temperatures and all this, like, they know the whole summer already, you know?
I mean, it used to be known as weather, right? But now it's extreme, yeah. Like, it's something like politics, right? Well, it's politics. No, it's extremism now. Extreme weather is causing increasing challenges for power grids across the United States, and officials are concerned that record heat and drought could result in rotating blackouts around the country, but specifically then in the Midwest, in addition to the shutdown of coal and nuclear power plants over the past year. And it's funny because, like, it's exactly the same thing is happening in Europe, right, in other parts of the world. It's like, it's almost like they're like in on it or something, you know what I mean? The Midwest summer generating capacity is threatened by planned maintenance and forced outages. So yeah, let's do, we got to do maintenance in the middle of that too. That's great. As well as seasonal factors like low wind conditions. So again, they're trying to say, well, we'll build windmills or, you know, solar power and these kinds of things. And then when that fails, we have no backups. Great. The region's grid operator, the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, has already warned of potential capacity shortfalls and other reliability concerns in the north and central region of its cover area. Anyway, I don't have to read more of that, but you get the point. So that's good. So it's good we're bringing in millions of people, and it's true for any Western country, essentially, at this point. It's great that we're bringing in, like, just a large.
Yeah, I mean, the infrastructure
segment
is clearly strained. There's not enough places even to rent or to buy. Just how many people can we import into this damn country? Like, what is the number here? When is it enough? When can we say, like, oh, time to close the borders?
I think they said around somewhere around 900 million.
I mean, what a nightmare. Remember a long time ago, they used to talk about, oh, we need to, the world's overpopulated and all this, but not where we live, apparently. Wherever the white people live, it's never overpopulated.
No, of course not. Never, right? And of course, this has been crazy with the baby formula. This is literally like, this is like third world country stuff here. You know what I mean? And again, that won't happen overnight. But it's slowly this and that, it fails. And then we patched that hole up, right? As the story in Holland, the Netherlands there, with the boy who put his finger in the dike, right? They'll cover, next one, and they'll cover that up, and then that burst. And we got that taken care of now. And the next thing fails, right? That's how it goes. Baby formula shortage worsening. Low-income families hit hardest. Yeah, big surprise, right? And of course, these are, bad products to begin with, but look, at least they're feeding their kids something. Now they can't even do that. And in fact, there's babies now that have been admitted to the hospital and they have to do surgery on them because the malnutrition is so bad. Can you imagine that feeling of not being able to feed your kid? I mean, this is like Holodomor, like initial stages here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's madness. And I saw too, because I'm on some newsletters for some different European sites, but it's catching on now, like the baby formula, the good organic baby formula.
Because it's all that's
websites
left.
In Europe. It's very expensive, but people are turning to that now. And they said that they're even seeing an increase. They're preparing up to 500% increase. Yeah. Right. So then now the European market will probably
be overwhelmed too. Yeah, that's where the U.S. has taken it from. Now I have a few stories on that. But anyway, it says here that it's getting worse, right? Data on the market supply of baby formula is getting worse, especially in the South and Southwest United States, with low-income families suffering most. The data is based on sales at stores such as grocery, club stores, and pharmacies, which represent 80% of formula sales. The Wall Street Journal reported on the data, which it said was generated by the data research firm IRI. And they said nationally, 23% of powdered baby formula was out of stock in the week ended May 22nd, compared with 21% during the previous week, right? So it's slowly getting worse. According to the latest figures from market research, in the first week of January and before the recall of formula produced by Abbott Laboratories, 11% of powdered baby formula was out of stock because of pandemic-related supply chain shortages, right? And then people have speculated, too, by the way, that the shutdown, that's the FDA that came in and said, you get better stop doing this. We allegedly, supposedly have. We covered it at the time. And look, anything's possible. But what I've heard after this is that the deaths in some babies is not 100% linked to Abbott Laboratories, right? They basically just, they don't know. Look, of course you want these things to be safe, but look, it feels like they're intentionally dragging their feet to kickstart production again. They're like, no, we have, because again, think about what the FDA has been involved in over the last couple of years, right? With the pandemic and all that stuff. They're helping to generate this problem. Some 1.6 million infants were eligible for VIC or VIC assistance as of 2019, the most recent year for which data is available. The program is designed to provide formula at no cost to families and positions to federal government as the largest purchaser of infant formula. I had no idea. Did you know about that? About half of infant formula nationwide is purchased by participants using WIC benefits. It basically means these people can't even afford to buy their own formula. So you got to turn that on.
So the government is buying it for low-income families?
Yes.
Or and for people coming into the border, all these illegals, as we know, they were sending baby formula down to the border recently.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're sending it down there. And while the shelves are running out in mainland the U.S., it's fully stocked and pallets are going down to the border to take care of their babies.
Yeah, I've even checked around Idaho, some of the stores, just curious, walking by, and there's a shortage.
There's a shortage
here too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And of course, again, the more that we're on top of this, we're going to talk with the manufacturers, and we have a national, what is called the Defense Authorization Act that Biden has enabled to deal with this issue. And the more they deal with it, magically, the worse it gets, right? Nothing is happening. More overseas infant formula coming to the U.S. next week as shortage continues. Let's check out this little clipper. I haven't checked this yet. Let's see if the... As long as there's no dumb ad. Of course there's an ad. Let me read a little bit here, then while we wait for that. More infant formula from abroad is on its way to the U.S. as part of the government's Operation Fly Formula program, including shipments next week from the UK and Australia.
Yeah.
Here it is. Let's see what they talk about here.
A new step to shore up the critically low baby formula supply. The first pallets of emergency formula.
Is that?
Arriving.
Weird music in the background on that.
From Europe via a U.S. military plane just a short time ago and is now going through inspection. The product is a specialty formula for infants who are intolerant to protein in cow's milk and will be distributed to hospitals, pharmacies, and doctor's offices. CNN's Polo Sandoval is live for us in Indianapolis where that first shipment just landed. So, Polo, this is just the first of what's expected.
This is just, they're saying, look at how great we're doing, and things are coming in. Things are going great, folks. Like, look at, it's almost like they want to pat themselves on the back for like a job well done. Like you, like food for kids is running out. We can't feed our own now, and now like you're supposed to like get a medal because you did a shipment from abroad, right? Anyway, Biden announces airlifts of baby formula from Europe and Australia. Things are great. He's doing really good.
And then what's going to happen to the European market? What about the Australian market?
This is it. And, you know, is it one of those
for
like,
all these,
give me your baby formula? Where else is that?
Low-income Americans, right? And then also, like, the prices on those? Are they giving these away for free to these low-income people?
Yes. Yeah, so
and everyone else has to pay more? Or what's
probably,
happening?
Probably, yeah. So what I've understood is that what they're shipping in is not ending up in the store shelves. This is going to pharmacies, hospitals, and basically like emergency, you know, care situations. So basically it doesn't mean that so people are out there now, they're struggling to find it, will not benefit from these shipments so far, right? So we're talking like, I think they said something like 8 weeks until like stocks are expected to come back again. What are you going to feed your kid? 8 weeks? This is like, it's coming apart, folks, at the damn seams.
Lisa can, you know, try and do a program to milk some humans, like breast milk banks, right? Some incentives.
Well, that's increased.
For women to be like pumping and, you know, they can make money off of selling their milk, right? Their breast milk. Like that does happen. There's websites for that.
No, but that has happened, right? The, what do you call them? Scalpers? Is that what you call them? What do you call it? They come in and buy up baby formula, and then they sell it on like eBay privately. And they double their profits.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's shit like that's happening right now too. But yes, there have been an increase, obviously, in the breast milk, you know, banks or whatever you call. But of course, there's other fixes. If your child is a little bit older, worry not when those you know, ham and pork and poultry and whatnot prices are going up, eggs and so forth. We can have a bug bolognese, right?
Would you
eat that? Primary school children in Wales, or in the UK, could be offered edible insects, including mealworms and crickets, as scientists urge the next generation to embrace eco-friendly meat substitutes.
Sure, like maybe when they're like 1 year old and they shove an ant in their mouth or something because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
That's not what this is.
But usually, usually when they're older, they're like, they just want to kill those things. They don't want to put them in their mouth, right?
No. No, don't put that in your mouth. You know what I mean? That's like the default here. Scientists hope to feed children food products made from insects. This could include bug protein bolognese, edible crickets, and mealworms.
Normalizing.
They hope to gauge their opinion on environmental issues surrounding food. So first
this is like what kids starving in Africa do. They eat bugs, you know?
Yes. Yeah, we're becoming a third world civilization. That's what happens. Import the third world, become the third world. And of course, that's not the only reason. We also have elitist Americans that are gouging, and same thing in Europe, you know, elitist Europeans that are gouging us and taking from the middle class and the poorest and giving it more to the wealthy, right? So they first program you, showing you that, you know, the emotional picture of the what do they call the polar bear, right, on some little ice lump in the Arctic or something, right? And yeah, Arctic, right? And then they say, here, eat the bugs, this will help. Cardiff University and UWE teams will survey kids, parents, and teachers. So they just check in a little bit first, you know? I heard, by the way, too, that they're also starting to feed kids this, but they're not telling the parents, by the way. But anyway, they're here they are right here, crickets. So this is an insect protein-based bolognese there on the
I think it's better in Sweden. The kids eat the blood pudding. I remember when I went to a school.
That's good.
I was kind of sitting in on some classes trying to learn Swedish with little kids. It was a lot of fun. Our friend who's a teacher. And then he was like, okay, let's time to go to lunch. And all these cute little Swedish kids are going and getting their serving of blood pudding. They're like, don't you want to try some?
It's actually really good. I actually miss it. I haven't had it in years. It's not bad. Well, again, you use the whole animal, you know. You basically, when you slaughter the pig, you take the blood, obviously, and then you blend it with flour. So basically it becomes like a type of a bread, weirdly, right?
Would you rather eat liver and onions, as we tried the other night?
Or blue pudding.
or bugs.
Oh, or bugs? Yeah, no, I'd liver any day, absolutely. No, I'd rather do blue pudding than liver, I think, to be honest. Yeah. All the liver is
unless it's liver pate. But
Liver pate is good,
It's better from like a pork or a duck as opposed to a cow, right?
I can see they do with stuff like this. They start mixing it, you know, like 20%
bug pate.
We have just 20% mealworm and
put lots
and,
of green, lots of garlic in there and cream, kind of like escargot, you know?
Yep.
Basically just tastes, I've tried that in France, basically just tastes like garlic and butter. A little slimy.
Ugh, yeah, I'm not big on that. What the hell is that? Cultivated lab meat and stuff. And I saw this too when I was searching for the for a couple of these stories back in 2019 already. School children in Wales are being served bugs for lunch. So this is, again, more just they've been doing this for some time. They're just like testing the waters to see how much we can get them to go agree with us, right? And by the way, here's a kicker, right? Because we've talked about the converging issues, right? Mass migration, the United Nations, World Economic Forum, open the borders, right? So the whole food thing.
It's Paul Zyklon Watson.
They're prepping us right now for a wave of migrants as food shortages is
you
going to
you don't say. First. We didn't see that coming. Of course
no
not.
No way. This came out of left field. Crazy, right? But here's Salvini, right? Warns food shortages could cause 20 million African migrants to enter Europe.
Well, they're fine eating bugs. Send them bugs with their rice bags.
No, we need them to come to our countries. That's going to... Because you'd say when the things are running low in our shelves... That it's gonna be. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Let's take Sweden then, because I know that situation, right? Imagine like Swedes living kind of on the periphery somewhere on like some of these suburb areas and stuff like that, and it's beginning to kind of run dry a little bit and short and stuff. Can you imagine who's gonna wander around in some of those neighborhoods and break in and try to steal other people's food and stuff? It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fantastic, right? It's like this. They just throw in the powder keg and they're just like lit the match and they're running now the other way, our elites, right? They're just waiting for this to explode. I don't know if you need to know the background of what's going on here and why and what they're blaming. But again, this was happening way before Ukraine and Russia happened, right? There's been a supply chain issue for some time, including, you know, buying up farmland. They do subsidies, which competes smaller farmers out of business, right? Again, even Sweden, I have this as a good reference point. They basically, the government has backstabbed milk producers in the back and stuff, and like huge conglomerates down in Germany is gobbling up all these farmers, and then they can sell it at a cheaper price in Sweden than Swedish milk producers selling and producing it in Sweden.
And it's
right?
a crappy product, so, and you can't even get raw milk in Sweden either.
No,
like it's illegal.
No. I mean, you can, but you would just go under the radar.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so this is intentional, right? To remove the competition, the small farmer, and then you basically, again, even the baby formula thing, right? Abbott Factories, which had this shutdown, which is partially is responsible for the baby infant formula shortage, is like provides something like 80%
of the... Yeah, that's absurd, of the market.
One damn, centralization is literally retarded. Like, it's the dumbest thing you can do, because if one thing goes wrong, one cog breaks in the machine over there, well, that's it. We can't do anything, right? So you need to break it up, do smaller, local. And that is the positive solution to problems like this. We have to start thinking like local again, you know?
And I know some people are saying, well, there's no food shortages. There's still a lot of different things in the store. And it's true, but
sure,
maybe
but
tomorrow
that's what
it's
going to
be.
About.
Tomorrow it might be something else, right? No one saw the baby food formula shortage coming, and here we are. So what's it going to be? We know the ones that they're going to war against. Meat is going to be one of the big ones, right? Obviously.
Well, you also have to keep in mind that because they're starting to talk about it themselves, that means that they're dropping a
yeah, they're
a
positioning to yes. what they want to do.
Yeah,
right?
Because then also that seems like, well, no, we were well aware of this. We understood this. We warned about this. Like, we're it's like a replacement for looking responsible or like knowing what you're doing, right? Oh, we talked about that. And in fact, here's an example. Here's the head of the World Food Program, who's talking about mass starvation coming, unless, of course, you hand over all the power and decision-making to us and make sure that we can, like, guide you safely through this. Listen to what he says here.
Well, I'm here in Davos, and as you can imagine, we're facing a food security global crisis. And what better place to be with world leaders from the government sector as well as the private sector, the major corporations, some of the wealthiest of the wealthy, who, as I'm telling them, the crisis is here, and we can't solve it without your engagement. From the billionaires to the private sector to the government, we've got to come together to end this crisis. Otherwise,
globalism.
Millions of people are going to die in famine. There'll be destabilization and mass migration. But together, we can get it done. And so at Davos, let's get it done.
See what he's saying there?
God.
So he's admitting that. It will be mass migration and conflict and all kinds of horrible things. But you have to
look. It's up to us to fix it.
Absolutely.
We've created the problems, but we're now going to fix it and offer the solution.
You see, the fix here is to globalize more. See, that's you got to bring everybody together, right? Oneness here. We got to create just this one system that fits all. That'll be great. We'll definitely do it, right? All right. So I want to play a clip here. Unless you have something else, Alana, to go in. Okay. I want to play a clip which just shows you a little bit that multiculturalism is not only kind of an increasing conflict risk for. White people, maybe let's say they're in opposition to multiculturalism, but it's also going to hit, of course, those who might be pro the immigration system or open borders, saying, well, I'm with you guys, I'm liberal, and it's back to that, like, well, you might not see race, or you might see race, but you're like an anti-white person. But you see, at the end of the day, that's not going to matter. So here's some kind of little shocking footage here. It's actually a woman being attacked in New York by a multicultural gang here. It's a white liberal woman with green hair, by the way. Check this out.
There's your policies in action, lady.
It's equal rights and lefts. Yep, there we go. Kick right in the face at the end of there. So here's a multicultural gang somewhere in New York. And again, no one's helping. Is this a bunch of white guys standing up there in the corner? Not doing anything? And then, boom, right in the face. There you go. So good times. They're good times. That's multiculturalism for you right there, even if you're a green-haired liberal. Well, no, I'm on
your
side.
It's just a coincidence, right? It didn't have anything to do with race. It's toxic masculinity, the system of violent white supremacy. Like, we've heard all the bullshit excuses.
It's going to reach everybody eventually, and we've talked about this, that this is an intentional conflict creation and chaos. By the establishment, and then of course they're going to seek to benefit from this by saying, "Well, we have to secure everybody and keep you safe. So hand over more. We got to have more surveillance. We got to know everybody's thoughts, right? All right. So anyway, another thing is this long just string of like issues here that's tied together like this. But there was a UEFA Champions League game taking place in. Well, it was in Paris. Technically, not Paris. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But it was mayhem and chaos as Liverpool was playing. Was it Madrid or something like that? I forget. Yeah, Real Madrid, I think it was, right? Kickoff of the Champions League finale in Paris between Real Madrid and Liverpool was delayed by 30 minutes Saturday, right? So this is about a week ago, but I want to cover it because some new testimony has come out from people on the Liverpool side, English fans that were there. And it was just like all this trouble, right? There was there were faulty admission gates. Police started pepper spraying them. People were being squeezed. People were couldn't get in. And so here's some of the footage of like them climbing over the wall. Look this up. So that might not look that bad, right? But it got worse and worse, right? Got worse and worse. They were pepper spraying. They were trying to corral and control the crowds, essentially, right? But something interesting happened as well at the same time, where basically migrants in Paris, in these suburbs, started attacking English football fans, Liverpool fans, right? Steve Rotherham says the scenes outside the Stade de France are completely chaotic, with a total breakdown of control and communication outside the ground. All relevant authorities must be held accountable for this failure. They talked about a couple of examples that happened back in England back in the 80s of like these, I forget what it was called, but there were like tons of people that died, right? They got squeezed to death. Yeah, Hillsborough Stadium was one of these big things that happened in UK football, you know, history, and tons of people like died because it was like a stampede and they squashed each other. And you actually had a big change in like crowd control and things like that to come in after that point, right? But here, look at this. Here's from the Parisian, I think you called the paper, who had an interview with a couple of the English, Liverpool supporters. And listen to what they have to say here, right? So this is like in the wake of all of this, after like things had played out, or a partial, you know, the beginning of they couldn't get in, it was problems with the crowds or whatever. Then there's another layer on here where the English fans are being mugged and attacked and assaulted and robbed and all kinds of crazy stuff. Listen to this here.
And they've been running up to us and screaming in our faces. I've never felt so terrified in my life. We didn't know where to go. I pulled my wife and my son close to me. Sorry.
Man up, man.
Oh, jeez. He's crying over some sports thing?
No, it's not that.
I know it's more than that.
As we were coming over the bridge, there must have been about...
There's migrants attacking them right there. See that? They're robbing them. They're taking their shit.
But they were all running towards the ground. And then once they ran towards the ground, all these youths, and I'm not talking a few youths, I'm talking
youths.
Potentially youths. Really? Yep, are you going to be a beta soy talk here?
Don't
want to
be racist. Nope.
Up to 1,000 youths, if not more. They stormed the bridge.
Is that 1,000, if not more?
Either side. So you got on the left, on the right. So we're all walking in the middle. They're all chanting, very intimidating. I've never felt in all my life as scared and as alone as I was then. It was terrifying. It was terrifying. They're all pushing and shoving you, you know. They were kicking people. I seen them kicking people, punching people.
Just any excuse for random violence.
I got my
right?
phone racial out of violence. My pocket to check Google Maps just for directions to our hotel. Then I just remember a hand trying to
it's
grab
like
my phone.
These kind of guys are caught totally off guard.
Oh, yeah.
They have no idea, you know, that these groups are capable of these things. Like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I've never been so scared. Whereas people like us would like always be watching our back. Well, we wouldn't be going to these events anyway.
But never relaxed kind of thing. And of course, this is also happens when the major crowds have been. I don't know how they got divided from the main group or whatever, but there was a lot of fans from Liverpool. They certainly wouldn't attack when all of them are there.
Exactly.
Right? So this is a few stragglers. They ended up either on the sidelines or behind or something. And of course, all of a sudden, it's just these people who just simply wants to rob them that shows up in these Paris suburbs.
And I pushed the hand away. I put the phone back in my pocket. Then they grabbed my watch and they were yanking on my watch. And then I'm on the floor. My head was smacked into the floor. I had blood in my left eye. I couldn't see. I could hear my wife screaming, asking people for help.
They're everywhere. They're trying to grab what they can. They tried to grab, I had like a satchel, a bag. So I grabbed hold of my bag. Unfortunately, they dipped my pocket, which had a bit of money in, and my phone. And I was that frightened at this point. I thought, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get stabbed, stamped on, whatever.
Luckily, I was checking my pockets all the time. And as I checked my pocket, I checked it and it was empty.
About your pockets, man. It's about your civilization.
I grabbed hold of the lad.
It's only white guys that are getting robbed here, huh?
My phone. He made out he didn't know what I was talking about. And I shook his coat, I shook his bag, and my phone fell to the floor. And I retrieved my phone like so. But he'd had it out of my pocket.
All right, 40,
like
41
spitting, and then the other dude's all like, all amped up there.
I had my wife by a hair at the back, and my son and I, we ran to my wife. She was screaming, she was asking for help, and then 5 or 6 Liverpool supporters come running over to help.
About time.
Then we were surrounded by, I'd say, 60 to 70 men under the bridge, they were running up to us and screaming in our faces. I've never felt so terrified in my life.
And I don't say this lightly. But when I got home yesterday, I felt lucky to be alive.
It was like diversity, the scene off the TV series.
Hopefully, he became a racist. That's what at that point.
Look at that line. Jeff, look at this line.
Home yesterday.
Not this guy, but the other one here.
I felt lucky to be alive.
Here we go.
It was like the scene off the TV series, The Walking Dead.
That's what it's like. Zombie attack, basically. Remember that World War Z? People have made some analogies, like over the wall and try to grab the chopper at the end of a, you know,
not
one
far
of the
from the
there.
Truth, man. Wake up! You almost want to like school these guys on what's going on and get them on board. It's kind of sad sometimes when you see
it is sad, but this is
sports guys.
Look at this. It's Africans and Arabs and Middle Easterners.
Well, hopefully that goes into their head when they go home and they talk about it. Like, oh, gee, it was all these foreigners who were attacking us.
Yep.
They didn't care if it was a woman. Nothing. They didn't care if you were innocent. They didn't care.
No. So there was an article here before, right? Check this one out. Updates from the local France's one of the French divisions, or of the local. What Liverpool fans coming to Paris for the Champions League finale need to know, right? And if you read a little bit here, Stade de France is in the northern Paris suburbs, just a few metro or train stops from the northern edge of Paris. Strictly speaking, and as the locals in Saint-Denis will tell you, the National Stadium is not actually located in Paris. It's in the town of Saint-Denis that forms part of the Petite Couronne, the ring of inner suburbs that surround the French capital. Do you see what this means now? Do you know who's surrounding Paris right now, right? Anyone arriving in Paris down the A1 motorway, indeed, by Eurostar on the rail-connected airport, will see the stadium on their approach. Okay, blah, blah, blah. That's not important, but the point is, it's like, these are suburb French people here, right? And that's what I'm saying. You might not see race, but race sees you, and it's coming for you whether you want to or not. And this will be, you'll have to go into a survival mode. This is, in a way, I don't like seeing this. This is not positive. I don't want this conflict. Look, but we've tried to tell people. Our leaders have not listened to us, and now the situation is gradually, and in some cases with huge, like fast increases, getting worse and worse and worse as every month, as every year passes. Right? It's getting worse and worse. And at the end of the day, it will be people that stand up for themselves and their own people that will have a much higher chance of surviving these times that are coming. That's just the harsh reality right now. And these guys better smart up and realize that it's
smarten
like
up.
You were attacked because you were white. That's basically that's right. You're an outsider, of course, too, at the same time. But here's a white person who's not familiar with the area, not familiar with these little gangs out in these suburbs and shit like this, right? And they had intentionally sought to be there, right?
Just round up, 60 or 70 of them, like he said. They just, like, round them up, and here they are. It's like they put it out on social media or something, and they all found each other. Hey, if you're brown, let's go attack white people down at this sports finale or whatever.
It's like a default position for many. Do you know what I mean? It's not even that it's like you don't even need the bat signal. It's just like, this is just what we do. This is it. This is our default.
It's like some bug
position.
Radar.
Yeah, it's a zombie attack, right?
JP
it's,
says, Henrik and Lana, what happens when you are so obsessed with your sports ball team that you follow them to an enriched utopian city?
Yeah.
You end up relaxing. Yeah, that's what they did there.
Yeah, that's true. Never relax. Never relax.
I have a couple more here. Love says, hurting our economy while simultaneously creating expensive technologies for consumers must mean they're going to put everyone in the dilemma of rather taking the microchip or living in a fantasy world or starving. Yeah, that's their goal there.
Yeah, I know VR, like if you can't feed yourself, oh, well, intravenous bug juice and VR headset for you down underground. Now when they, the whole, they're going to be like a scorched earth tactic or, excuse me, something like that, you know? Go ahead.
One more. Black Phillips says, Lana, I have awful news. One of my female relatives is a total commie shitlib, got triple vaxxed to own the Trump tards, she said. She was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer at only 27. Fortunately, they caught it early and prognosis is good. Yeah, but it's still breast cancer.
Oh, she's lucky. Jeez. Well, and you know what's worse with it is that it seems to be that it just, harkens makes your immune system so weak that you might have something and suffer from it, but then you might just get something new again later.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's so horrible about this shit. It's the program.
Cyan Wolf, thank you, says the violent fiasco in Paris is very ironic. Liverpool is famous for the criminal tendencies of its hardcore football supporters and for being politically extremely left-wing. It even has a literal Trotskyite takeover of its local government. Well, there you go.
Yeah, Liverpool, we've been through there a few times. It was
horrible.
It's insane. They better wake up, right? And then it's like all this anti-racism. Look, also why this is interesting is like, There are football clubs and hooligans and stuff that are like, they better get aboard the program here, right? But they've also tried really hard to like push some of them towards like
Tommy Robinson's kind of activation, he's kind of jumped onto that kind of crowd, right? And trying to get them to be like, you can't be anti-Semitic and you have to be an anti-racist and have to love gays and all that.
But at the end of the day, if you take that stance, you're gonna die. Where we're going, if you're in big cities, I'm not saying this is gonna be, you know, worldwide, everywhere and all that, but like if you're in these environments and big cities and like if things get worse and worse, like if you don't have a group, a gang, a people, you know, when you stand up for yourself, you know what's going on, like the chances are you're gonna end up in trouble. You're gonna be beaten up, you're gonna be robbed.
Yeah, and some of these sports guys, they're too nice, right? They just mind their own business, live and let live, and I'm just taking care of my family, wanna watch the game, right? Mm-hmm. But then all this stuff is gonna happen to them and they're gonna be like, where did this come from? I didn't see any of this coming. You know,
something fall down here. Sorry, guys.
Ooh, wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Oh, funny that turned on my laptop. Yeah, that was it. Was a thing that fell off the wall here. All right, caught me by surprise. All right, we're good. So we talked about the replacement thing, right? The great replace. It's totally
the replacement thing. Yeah, we've talked about that.
You remember that? Yeah, the replacement thing. You know that thing that's happening. Speaking of that, because we're in England here, right? What about that theory again? What's going on with that? Here's Miss Ireland and Miss England.
What is Irish anyway? What is English anyway? We can all be Irish and English.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Could I go over there and try and go win Miss Ireland? I don't think so.
Yeah, and of course Miss England, right? Here's the finalists. Is that what you call it? Finalists.
It's
finalists.
Also contrived.
Of Miss England
what do we
here.
One. We have one.
I think we have one. We have a couple
like
of
not even natural
slides here of this. I think there's one, two.
We're looking at Brazil or something. What the hell?
There you go. Right there you go. So there's no great replacement. What are you talking
and it's
about?
It's so tryhard because like they're not even cute. They just look like kind of trashy, like Kim Kardashian wannabes or something. You know.
And it's funny, you know, because we go back to this again, right? It's like, well, you know, these are still minorities in these countries. They're working hard on changing that. But they're still minorities. But if we in white countries say something about this and get upset, then we're racists, right? Oh my God, how big are you? This is a beautiful young man. She's as English or as Irish or as Swedish or as German, as French, as
any one of you, kind of thing, right? No, it would be as dumb as going over to Nigeria, right? Some blonde woman winning Miss Nigeria.
We have a not even a comparison, actually, but just to put it in the framework of it. Remember what happened during the Olympics in Brazil, right? Because that's considered to be like that's like one of the most mixed race countries in the world, right? So even there, then you'd think it'd be okay to actually have a variety of things. No, when the German ethnic roots, right, Gisele Bündchen,
even though she grew up in Brazil, she's German roots, right?
Yeah, when she did that walk, they were complaining, why is it so long, her walk during the opening ceremony of the Olympics, right? Look at the line here that they wrote. What does it say? There's some leftist, Leticia Bahia, was openly curious about why Gisele was the Brazilian chosen to strut her stuff to the girl of Ipanema. What does it say about a mixed race country boasting about its pride over miscegenation to choose
well, you wouldn't have had that without Europeans there either, would you?
To choose a supermodel who is white, ultra skinny, blonde, and blue-eyed to represent the women of Brazil, Bahai said, right? So these are mainstream articles. They can see, this is the thing, if you had a white contingent in any country that would be put in a position where they're on the TV, they're on the Miss whatever, you know, representation or something, there would be outrage. They literally would be, this is colonialism and all. No, I don't, but, newcomers and all that, like bringing this by you again, that is like, We are absolutely 100% legitimate, you know, and valid in our criticisms against our people being replaced, because they would do it in a second.
I love it too. It's like, well, white people can't be Brazilian. You have to be mixed race to be Brazilian. It's just like, well, you wouldn't have your mixed races if it weren't for these dumb white people who helped mix you out.
Yep. But there's some light in the tunnel. Two-thirds of Republicans now believe, or rather now accept and understand, that the Great Replacement is actually happening.
A new poll shows. At least. This is great.
A new poll shows that two-thirds of Republicans believe in a conspiracy theory, Vice writes here, similar to the one that inspired the Buffalo Show. If you believe this, you want to shoot people and you're dangerous, right? I love how that happens. 68% said they believe that the recent shift in U.S. demographic is, quote, not a natural change, but has been motivated by progressive and liberal leaders actively trying to leverage political power by replacing more conservative white voters. That includes 38% who strongly agree with the statement, with 30% of Republicans saying they somewhat agreed. So yeah. Most people, and then it's like, what does the SPLC say? But you're not supposed to be allowed to think this way, right?
It's funny, though. I was looking at an article the other day about Renaud Camus, the guy who's thought to have coined the term the Great Replacement, right? And He was actually a liberal and a homosexual.
That's right.
Right? So there's some interesting stuff there about him. So it's like, okay, well, actually, it was a liberal guy who first talked about it. Although he didn't like how then white people were saying, hey, yeah, we're being replaced and worrying about birth rates and all this stuff, of course, because he's a leftist homosexual. He doesn't really care about that. So but interesting.
Was it like very left? I thought he was, no, yeah. Was he like super left?
I don't know. I'd have to look into it myself, but more on the liberal side for sure. So it was a compact mag, the man behind the Great Replacement. I was kind of reading some other lesser known things about Renaud Camus.
So. All right, interesting. All right, well, regardless, whatever he stands, it's an accurate. Anybody with a brain should be able to see that this is what's happening. To deny it would be insanity, definition of insanity at this point, right? And now, of course, over to new and exciting Sweden, right? And it's interesting because we actually truly have an insurrection that's taking place in many Western countries right now. It's people that are actively turning against authority, they're turning against the structure of government, they're torturing and looting and raping and burning and all kinds of crazy stuff. So here's Trollhättan, you remember that?
We lived there for a little bit.
Fires in several places in Trollhättan. Several large fires have broken out. I'm saying this because there's a large immigrant population
Huge.
Here. And before immigrants came, it wasn't too common to have over and over and again during the summers, have different fires, cars being burned, buildings being burned, hand grenades going off, etc. Gang rapes. It's kind of somewhat of a rare thing if you go back to the 70s in Sweden. But then something happened, something that is just a conspiracy theory happened, and then here we are, right? During the night until Friday in Trollhättan, several fires broke out, the rescue services. And then, by the way, when they go out and then try to put the fires out, the migrants and the kids, the youths, they show up and they throw rocks at the fire department. Like, why even bother at this point? You know what I mean? Unless there's some Swedish person's building that's burning down or something, like, or someone's apartment, let it burn down then. You can take care of it yourself. You know what I mean? But it's like, if you hate our country, if you hate what we stand for, if you hate what we do, if you hate us, if you hate where you are, go home. Fucking go home. Just go home. You can go home. And if you don't want to go home, we'll deport you. We'll send you back and you can stay there. Okay? That's really how simple this is.
Yep.
All we need is political willpower and leadership to say, well, they came in somehow, and you begin with the people that are turning against us, right? You begin with the insurrectionists. You begin with the hostile army, like the force that's like the weaponized force against us.
I remember at Trollhättan when we lived there, I thought, cool, the word troll is in it, you know, like Swedish trolls and all this like gnomes and fun stuff.
Well,
and
they're the trolls now.
The river and all that, that's there, and this old dam, and there's some really beautiful areas in the countryside there. And I remember, I mean, this is a long time ago now, right? Like almost 10 years ago or something. But the influx of Muslims that was coming in and Africans. Yep. And there was a little downtown area that I would go and like go get coffee or pick up something. And I stopped wanting to go there. Didn't even want me to go there because they're just sitting around, and then they would like shout at you and yell at you if you walk by as a woman, and they'd, you know, try and like get your attention.
I don't think I ever
just loitering
heard
all
that,
day.
But I know they do. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I personally didn't see that happen. But it's an inch away. If there's enough of them around and not no other people there, then yeah, that would happen in 2 seconds. They're like a they're like these pack animals in the Star Wars movie. Remember, they're easily scared off, but then they just gather more numbers and they come back. You know, that's like how they are. I forget what that race in Star Wars is called, but that's basically how it is, right?
And it's always the damn kebab shops that come in and it's kebabs. Yep. Like, ugh, yep. No, we don't need your damn kebabs.
The majority of them sit around. They don't work. They're not contributing. They're just on welfare. No one's happening. And then it's like, well, it's racist Swedes' fault that's not letting them into society. Well, they also don't want to be part of society, okay? They're there for the Gibbs. They're there because it's free. The door is open and they walked through it and someone said, here you go, here's money. You know, anyway, so these scenes are, this is the new Sweden now. It's burnings, it's cars being torched, it's buildings on fire, it's gangs and shootouts and rapes. And it's, yeah, it's fantastic. It's great. But, it, you know, the great replacement's totally not happening. All right.
Lycan Warrior says, if another Great Depression or even Holodomor happens, the racial conflict in Western countries will make even South Africa look like an amusement park. It's all a facade. People's masks will finally come off. Yeah, that's a good thing. We need that to happen. Stephanie Love says, no such thing, but I get what you're saying. For the mask to come off for people to see.
Yeah,
and no such thing as race mixing, just erasure breeding. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at it, right, because of the regressive genes, which I like to call a refinement process of white people, it's like you have anything. You refine.
For us, we have more to lose.
You refine sugar. You refine various things, or what, you know, whatever, right? They're you know, and if you whatever you add into it, right? So whatever you add into something that has been refined will be, you know, diluted and will almost be dominated by the very thing that is, you know, not the core of it, right? So yes, we have most to lose, genetically and ethnically, obviously, and the people that we mix with end up looking like them and not like us, right? So and of course, in almost 100% of cases, they also end up identifying with that racial group. Mm-hmm. Right, so there might be 50% Swedish or white American or German or French, but they certainly as hell is not going to claim they are. You know what I mean? Not native anyway. Okay, so here's another one of these fascinating stories that was dropped quickly. Right, we're going to talk about the gun control debate a little bit and the crazy stuff in the wake of this. So we had a shooting in Tulsa where a doctor had been targeted. It was a hospital there, and the Tulsa Police Department finally identified Michael Lewis, 45 years old, of Muskegee, Oklahoma, as the gunman. And here we go. Right here, that's the perpetrator, right?
Yeah, it looks a bit wacky.
Guess what happened here then? So immediately it was like, we can use this for the gun grab. Let's not really talk about this anymore. It's not really racial or something like that, obviously, right? Now, of course, he targeted the doctor because he had some like botched back surgery or something. And the guy had said, the officers rather, had recovered a letter that was written by the suspect. And he said that there was clear intent to kill a Dr. Preston Phillips, who did surgery on him on May 19th. And he said, I'm going to kill Dr. Phillips and anyone who gets in my way, right? So he ended up killing four, I believe. But here's the other thing, right? Lewis was armed with an AR-15 style rifle. It's always that, and they bought it the same day, right? It's always that same, like, perfect for the greedy gun-grabbing hands of the gun-grabbing lobby, essentially, right? But anyway, so they dropped.
These happen a lot. There was one in Chattanooga also. Six people were shot, and it was a juvenile Americans.
Yes.
So I mean, there's a lot of mass shootings that happen all the time, and it's mainly by black males. But we don't hear about those often.
No, and again, whenever they rattle off the gun statistics, most of it is suicide and self defense, right? I think it's the major groups, and then of course, when you do have mass shootings, then it's actually not at all white people or even white supremacists that are responsible.
just happened to be someone white, right?
Yes. Yeah. All right. So anyway, they're going to drop that goddamn quick. You know that much.
Right? Real quick, yes. Joke for you. Archie says, why don't feather Indians like snow? Because it's white and on their land.
it is on their land then, isn't it?
Their land.
Yeah, as we had that clip we played in the beginning, the land acknowledgement ceremonies. And I made the joke with like, I mean, what? Constantinople, right, the area of now Turkey, was like European for, I don't even know, history buffs, correct me in chat, well over 1,000 years, probably more. I mean, you can even
talk... some land acknowledgement, ownership acknowledgement.
Right, exactly, right. Constantinople, now Istanbul.
We can upset the balance of the whole planet with this game.
White people are unique in the sense that we are the only ones who are allowing ourselves to be bullied into we won the damn war. We won, and we're the ones apologizing for it. No other people does that. No. We are truly unique. I mean, uniquely retarded, unfortunately, in this case. But you know what I'm saying, though, right? No one else is doing this. Erdogan would never come out and say, well, we acknowledge that this land was originally, you know, the Byzantium of the, eastern parts of the Roman Empire, blah, 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 right? I mean, again, the only reason why Istanbul, or I prefer Constantinople, is Europe's, and I could even be arguing, right, largest city today is because you had quite a while there of Roman occupation and build up of that particular one. In fact, it's even, isn't it the Sophia Hagia, right, that you have Viking runes and shit like that carved in the church that later was converted into a mosque, right?
That's right.
Anyway, here's Biden. My fellow Americans, enough. It is time for each of us to do our part. It's time to act. For the children we have lost, for the children we can save, by workforce we're going to cut off their genitals, but that's a different thing. For the nation we love. Well, you hate it, but that's fine. Let us hear the call and cry. Let us meet this moment.
The sappy
Let
garbage.
Let us finally
this,
do something.
It's amazing the sappy.
Gun. Let's grab your guns.
Sappy garbage works on liberals. It's amazing. Yeah. Can you see through it? There was a time when everyone used to laugh at politicians and knew they were full of bullshit. Now it's like, oh, he's right about this.
I'm not even joking. I saw like some of the biggest blue checkmark accounts on Twitter was just like, finally, we have a leader that's like standing up and morally and doing the right
pooping
thing.
Pooping his pants.
pooping his pants. I am proud of our president today, you know, like with a tear in the eye, you know. So anyway, so here's some of the crazy things that this lunatic said. He wants to return to or bring back the 1994 assault weapons, which is, of course, you know, that's not what it's called, but the, you know, semantics. Assault weapons banned, for that to be reinstated.
Here's what the overwhelming majority of American people believe we must do. Here's what the families in Buffalo and Uvalde in Texas told us we must do. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And if we can't ban assault weapons, then we should raise the age to purchase them from 18 to 21. Strengthen background checks. Enact safe storage law and red flag laws. Repeal the immunity that protects gun manufacturers from liability. Address the mental health crisis.
Big pharma then.
Yeah.
Deepening the trauma of gun violence and as a consequence of that violence. These are rational, common sense measures.
No.
Here's what it all means. It all means this. We should reinstate the assault weapons ban on high capacity magazines that we passed in 1994 with bipartisan support in Congress, and the support of law enforcement.
So red, this is crazy, right? The red flag laws, and you know it's just going to be used against people. I mean,
anyone who's on the right, basically.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine
that would be a way that they would kind of, in a roundabout way, shut it down, right?
Yeah, like if you have a, you know, liberals would organize it around this, and it's like, yeah, I have an uncle who I just voted for Trump, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to call and snitch on the guy. Like, yeah, he's violent and dangerous, or he's been depressed or whatever, right? I mean, you know that this is how it will be used. Here's that. I don't think this is exactly the same part, but underline that again, calling for the red flag laws. I think you mentioned it multiple times, so check this clip out right here.
We should also have national red flag laws so that a parent, a teacher, a counselor can flag for a court that a child, a student, a patient is exhibiting violent tendencies, threatening classmates, or experiencing suicidal thoughts, it makes them a danger to themselves or to others. 19 states in the District of Columbia have red flag laws. The Delaware law is named after my son, Attorney General Beau Biden. Fort Hood, Texas, 2009, 13 dead and more than 30 injured.
So this will, you hear that. Like, this is basically like a social credit score. Like, what's your reputation, right? That's what it is. Well, if anybody around you for some reason think you have wrong opinion, you
then you go on a list about? And then you can't get a gun. And ultimately, that is their goal, right? Yes. They want to name a bunch of people on the right or people that supported Trump, right, or political dissidents as terrorists, basically extremists, a threat, a worry. They put them on this list and then they can shut it down that way, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
But then meanwhile, there's going to be those, you know, Fed-groomed mass shooters that are still going to get the guns anyway.
Well, I mean, absolutely. That's what they're using now. 100%. I mean, I'm not saying every single one is that, but I mean, some of them are. I mean, it's like there's even some, you know, rumors now. I mean, we know that the Buffalo shooter seemed to have been groomed by an off-duty or retired federal agent. And then it was some rumors even that both the Texas and the Buffalo shooter was in the same Discord server. That's been a little bit more fuzzy, the details around that. But that, some of the stuff that came out, and we have a clip on some more questions around that later, by the way. But here's a piece from The Hill here. Pelosi says House will move on assault weapons ban. This language is just, you know, dumb. Let's see what he says here, by the way. Biden.
The family. They spent 3 hours and 40 minutes with me. They waited all that time, and some came 2 hours early. And the pain is palpable, and I think a lot of it's unnecessary. So I'm going to continue to push, and we'll see how this works.
Is there one element? Is it age? Is it red flag? Is it some component that you think could be most successful now?
Well, that's hard to say because I've not been negotiating with any of the Republicans yet. And I deliberately did not engage in a debate about that with any Republican when we were down.
Whatever, boring.
Archie says that women's rights groups in Canada are pushing back against the red flag laws in Trudeau's gun bill regarding domestic violence.
Who was?
Women's rights groups in Canada, they're saying, you know, they need to protect themselves against domestic violence. And it's true. I mean, a lot of women protect themselves against rapists, right?
I guess you would agree with them for not the wrong reasons, I guess. But yeah, okay, that's an interesting twist.
Well, they could just be calling themselves that, but it could obviously more like Second Amendment type in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Dog Whistler says the DC crowd is going to try and go down the path of Canada, where this past week they basically made it illegal for anyone to defend themselves with a handgun. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Wednesday that House Democrats will soon consider legislation banning military-style assault weapons, marking the most aggressive response from Congress to date following last week's shooting at Texas. So they're using that, right? And of course, now then because of Texas, guns are bad. When it was the Buffalo, then it's white supremacy and information is bad, right? House Democrat leaders have already scheduled a vote next week on so-called red flag legislation designed to keep weapons from potentially violent people. That's right. If you say the wrong, there's a post on you that artificial intelligence flags on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, then you won't be able to defend yourself. That's basically what they want here, right? I mean, like just massive push. Hopefully it won't, you know, pass Congress or whatever, but they'll keep pushing. They'll keep doing this. They'll keep doing it. And one day you have enough cucks in there or enough infiltrators, and then that'll be that. You know what I mean? So here's Hillary. No one actually needs an AR-15. How would you even know? And the fact
it's
that they're
amazing.
Telling
like, this
us.
This woman's a total warmonger, supports, like, dropping bombs and, like, murdering people overseas and all this. There's just no one needs an AR-15. Please, lady.
Again, the proof that we need it is that they want to take it away from us, right? Shall not be infringed. There's no, you can't, you don't fuck around with that. That's just what it is. Well, you couldn't buy a cannon. Well, maybe you should have been allowed to buy a cannon. You know, I don't know. It's just like, if the whole purpose of the law was to defend, you know, have militias and, you know, the language they used when they wrote some of these things, right, back then, back in the day, if the whole purpose is to potentially hold back a tyrannical, aggressive government that's turned on the population,
then they would need an AR-15.
Then they would, they would need bombs and cannons. I know that that's kind of inconvenient, or that sure that could be kind of that could be dumb or whatever. But ironically, if the reason is to keep tabs on the very people that have access to the weapons, then you should be there should be a level playing field, right? I don't know. Oh, they're outgunned us now. They have imagine the day when they have, like, it wouldn't even be classified as a weapon or a gun, but they have some frequency
high-tech weapons,
beam weapon, or whatever you want to call it, that basically we hijack the central nervous system and we just shut down their brain process and it freezes everyone in, or whatever, right? That would be a weapon, and they would basically ensure that, you know, they could stop us at any time, but we have no way of defending ourselves.
JP says, I love the irony behind all this. The government is only helping to spike historic gun sales. Yeah, everyone's going to go buy more in America, too, because they don't want what's happening in Canada, right? They fear that. So,
yeah, played a clip on Wednesday's show again. It's like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know if this was the intention, but Justin Trudeau has done more for gun sales than anyone has ever done. It's we can't keep them in stock fast. You know, they're just going like crazy, right? So David Hogg, do you remember this kid here?
Yeah.
Was wheeled out again here, right? And of course he did all the usual stuff here, right? I'm going to protest with teachers from AFT tomorrow at Marco Rubio's office. I don't care about Marco Rubio, whatever, but I'm in front of your office in Miami right now, Marco Rubio. It's been 4 years and you still have yet to meet with me or anyone from March for Our Lives. We know that you don't agree, but let's find the common ground and take some of the guns, at least, or some parts of the guns. I'm begging you, these are our kids.
I'm begging? Does he mean begging?
I guess so, yeah. David Hogg says here, I woke up with a message on Twitter from someone asking how to turn in their AR-15.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
why would you ask this kid first? It's obviously just like...
Yeah.
Made up.
Yeah, of course.
And if someone actually did that, yeah, you shouldn't have an AR-15 if you said this.
And if they did, it was just a joke.
And he's running with, this time it's different. It's different now, everybody. 51,000 likes.
How old is this kid now?
Like, 24 or 5 maybe. Here's a little insight here. Here's the Zoomer, what's the other one? Millennials. I think it's probably just millennials here. This is the little team here, the little soy latte team sitting here working on grabbing your guns, America. Enjoy. These are people now. Look at the demographic makeup and everything here, right? They're like
chubby. No one's fit. Yep.
And let me see what he said about this here too. Just some of the A March for Our Lives team working to make the march possible. While I appreciate the thanks, it's really everyone in this photo and the thousands organizing marches you should be thanking. So there's thousands of people behind this organization, right? Where's he getting the money from this from? You think this is backed by somebody, maybe? Maybe. This is pretty base, though. Check this out. This is like, again, I agree, but for all the wrong reasons, right? Non-Americans should not come here.
Yeah, stop right there. Period. The end.
There you go. Based. Until our country does something about gun safety. Your kids are not safe here, and neither are you. Wait a minute. We've played clips with like kids from Mexico that are fleeing because their uncle beat them up or something like that. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
And you know, white kids would, as I said at the time, would like maybe run to an aunt or to the grandparents or across the street to a neighbor or something. No, they have to leave the damn country, right, and go to, hey, how you doing over there? Please request that your government put out a travel advisory to your citizens, telling them it's not safe for citizens to visit the U.S.
Yes, I like this one.
God.
Good.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. and then he did...
It's so dangerous. You shouldn't come here.
And then let's see if Twitter decides to load. Yes. Remember this? This is a weird... This is from a while ago. This is April. Back in April. This year, though. April 11th. Has anyone else... Think about how he's been used. And he was... I forget. What was one of the Florida shootings, right? That he was part of. Maybe chat has it. Has anyone else had the experience of having a parent who did a lot of classified stuff, and while they can't tell you about it, you start connecting the dots and realize if you're even 10% right, your parent did some insane stuff. Whoops.
Speaking about his own
CIA,
house, huh?
Right? Wasn't it CIA? Was it FBI? Right? He's a son of a actual agent, intelligence
agent. Yeah, I think it was.
Agent,
yeah.
Right? And then he goes on in the thread here, like, I'm, you know, connecting and... I didn't realize how like not normal this was until I was older, and now I'm thinking about all the random things throughout my childhood. We literally talk about how like he was groomed to be used for this
kind
of stuff,
right? So he's confirming right there.
Yeah, and then at the end he's like, I can't believe all these conspiracies, people are crazy, right, or something like that. But
he's literally the one posting all the conspiracy maps on the wall there.
Right So here's one of the latest kind of weird coincidences here when it comes to the Uvalde, Texas shooter.
So the Texas shooter had a Saber Dynamics M4, that's $1,200. He had a Daniel Defense M4, that was $2,700. He had magazines for every round that he had. That was, what do you say it was? We figured that was $1,000 for the magazine. $1,000 for magazines. He had 1,600 rounds, 5.56, $1 a round. Unless you're shooting 300 buck out, then it's even more expensive. So 5.56, he had 1,600 rounds. That's $1,600 on top of that. He had a handgun. They haven't said what kind of handgun he had. So I'm pretty sure he had ammo with that, just in case, throw another 100 bucks into that. Handgun, anywhere from, I say, 300 to 900, we'll say 600 just to be exact. Plate carrier with no plates, that's 200. That's adds up, plus with tax, over $9,000. How did a 18-year-old, no job, no credit, get all that?
I don't know, good question. How did he get all that? $9,000 approximate?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Is anybody asking these guys a question?
Unless he was like working for the cartel or something.
Well, he was picked on in school because he didn't have any money, and his family didn't have money, right? They have a criminal record. Now, there seems to be a lot of shady things when it comes to the Uvalde Police Department. They're not cooperating. There's a lot of weird things here, and it seems like, if I got on a limb here and get my tinfoil hat on, it seems that somehow they have, someone has gotten to them and they decided to use this department for this very purpose, to intentionally create a school shooting. And there's theories that he was groomed, right? He was given all these weapons. He was, you know, everything was laid out for him, essentially, as usual. And they encouraged it, and then he did it, and then now they can use that to push. And of course, this is also not just a gun grab issue, but that's like mobilizing leftists and Democrats and far leftists now politically. Because, like, what are you going to do? We're going to run Biden here? Like, I mean, with everything that's happening and all these lunatics, it's going into the shitter for these people. And so they have to have stuff like abortion and gun issues to like get some energy around this. So that's the grand, you know, kind of one of the grand conspiracies right there, that this is a total gay op. Some people always say, oh, it didn't happen or whatever, and be sure, debate that point. I don't know. But the point is, they're using it, and they're going to try to mobilize the whole political field on this, right? All right. So another story real quick here. We have a couple of things left for you guys here. The U.S. House has a panel that probes the Saudi Arabian business connection with Kushner's firm. Yes, it turns out that he happened to get $2 billion in a gift from Saudi Arabia here.
Some investment money or something?
Yeah, investment. Can we do that
investment
within the...
Investment from Saudi Arabia.
Investment. A gift, a fund gift investment, right? Again, think of Trump, right? This guy led Trump around by the nose.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen to him. They say they're investigating. Like, he's a crook. He's an Israel first fake conservative, like so many of them. He is. He's going to get away. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But you know, when you're in on it, when you're part of the mob in D.C. and New York, there,
you get $2 billion from Saudis, no problem. I love to hear people are always like, "Oh, Saudis are so based." I saw that like today because of the Pride parade or the Pride flags, the logos.
Oh, because
like,
they're not doing anything.
The Saudis are doing, like, remember when the Saudis were attacking me and their like one of their biggest papers in English. Too. I'm like
Arab World, or something.
Calling me the poster girl of white supremacy and attacking me for basically supporting, wanting all the things that Saudi Arabia has for European countries.
Yeah,
you know, but it's just like Israel.
They can do it. It's okay
just
for them.
Like Israel.
Well, it's basically pseudo Israel.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia with all the Wahhabi cult down there, and some people have been speculating what's the ethnic origin of them, blah blah blah. But the point is, they're like this with the Israelis now.
Why he just goes and gets $2 billion?
Of course. You know? Why do you think the whole apparatus has sided with you? And Chad, am I getting this right? With the Shia faction as opposed to the Sunni one in Iran? I think I got that right. The Sunni one is would have been way better, I think, to be honest. But, you know, again, and what about Yemen and all that shit that's happening? Not a word about that still in the major press, right? Yeah, House of Saud, right? They're probably cryptos, right? If there are some, I remember the article published on the website way back, like the early days of the House of Saud and the Wahhabi tribes and stuff like that. It's just like, there's something fishy here. But yeah, so I guess, the Committee on Oversight and Reform is investigating whether Kushner have improperly traded on your government position to obtain billions of dollars from the Saudi government and whether your personal finance interest improperly influenced U.S. foreign policy. Look, this is good and it's okay, but what in the hell is this now only now coming out? You could find an endless slew of people that literally have like dual citizenship that are sitting in Congress or sitting in the House, and they're like pushing their own not only financial interests but like the interests of Israel.
Even Biden's family, right, profiting.
Oh yeah.
U.S. foreign policy and whatnot, right?
Absolutely. Check this little clip. We have time to throw this in. Check this out here. This is an older clip here, but just a little slice here of like, APAC and who controls, specifically American foreign policy, right? But check this clip out here. Go away, notification. Hate when that happens. Here we go.
Jews, okay, in order to... Radical. Don't you think they want in my face?
A pro-Israeli advocate knocked a camera out of the hands of Allison Weir, president of the Council for the National Interest Foundation. The group just finished their press conference on what they call unjustifiable U.S. aid to Israel. The two sides met when the press club scheduled a pro-Israeli news conference to follow, held in the same room. The altercation illustrates heightened tensions on differing views regarding America's relationship with Israel. The Council for the National Interest Foundation wants Americans to know how much of their tax dollars are going to Israel.
$3 trillion. That's including a massive amount of direct money to Israel, then a lot of hidden costs.
CNIF alleges Israel receives so much aid and special treatment because the U.S. Congress is controlled by AIPAC, America's pro-Israeli lobby. Executive Director Philip Girardi says Israel spends a lot of money on U.S. elections.
There are many Israeli PACs, and they do give a lot of money very selectively to congressmen that they want to support.
The Council for the National Interest Foundation says many members of Congress fear if they don't always side with Israel, that they will face retaliation in their own re-election campaigns.
If a congressman crosses the Israel lobby by voting against aid for Israel or voting against some legislation that Israel favors, they very often will find that the next time they're running for office, there will be a candidate put up against them who is very well funded.
Giraldi is a former CIA counterterrorism expert. He questions why America gives aid to Israel when Israel conducts more espionage for profit against the U.S. than any other U.S.-friendly country.
They steal military technology. They steal information that is useful for telecommunications.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski works at the Pentagon and says Israel receives preferential treatment.
We do not question what the Israelis want.
Katowski believes America is beginning to take more interest in U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, in large part due to tough economic times. More and more Americans want to know where their hard-earned tax dollars are going.
Anyway, it cuts off there, but you get the point. This is an old clip, too, by the way. Things have certainly gotten worse.
Yeah, it feels like it's
then.
Kind of dropped off. Like, we don't hear about that as much anymore, do we?
Remember this latest stone toss here. $40 billion in USA to Ukraine. Pretty crazy, huh? Well, not to the apex of this world and the Israel first crowd, right? All right. Anyway, I think that's that. All right, boys and girls. Let's end on this. I think we had some boys over at GDL that saw our last week's show, and they had a little apology for us. You want to play this? Handsome Truth over there at GDL. Check this out.
I had said some things about Red Ice that were rude. And part of the reason why I'm apologizing is because if I'm rude to someone, usually they have an excuse not to ever play any of the content that that they see. They could be like, you know, that guy was a jerk. I don't want to share his stuff. He's a jerk, you know. And I understand that. I understand that. Henrik, I said some things. I trolled his channel, whatever. And I was rude, okay? There was a little bit of a fight going on with Adam and myself. And then, I was kind of mad with how it all panned out. Anyhow, long story short, I'm saying I apologize because I said some things that might have been rude. And I really do appreciate these guys. They didn't have to do this. All right. They didn't have to to do this. They didn't have to mention any, and they have a huge audience. They did not have to do this, right? So the fact that they did this, it shows that, you know, he could be a bigger man, and I could be a bigger man too, and apologize for being a jerk in the past. Okay, does that make sense?
It was a pretty fun clip.
Press one if that makes sense. Henrik, yeah. Henrik, I apologize. Thank you for playing the clip. I really appreciate it. We work our butt off to try to get this message out there. And a big channel like yours showing what we did, thank you a lot, okay?
All right, well, you're
it's
welcome.
Funny you guys are like you're talking welcome. To each other through your stream.
Through the streams. Yeah, stream sniping is the next step. No problem. You're welcome. Yeah, but yeah, am I the bigger man? 6'1", 215 pounds? Maybe. Anyway, thank you, man. No problem. Keep up the good work over there, GDL. Might not be everyone's flavor, but it's certainly funny. I've enjoyed a lot of your clips, so you're welcome. All right, cool.
I have a couple more here. Yep. Let's see. Northfolk, great show as always. Thanks, Henrik and Lana. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you, and I plan to get better. I have a really bad headache and sore throat
right now.
Black Phillip says, Henrik, I'm sure you touched on this before, but Sweden is low-key scared of being swallowed by Russia and forced to become a satellite. This has been true maybe for a couple hundred years. I wonder how many women and immigrants will defend Sweden.
Yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow.
No, Russia doesn't want to take over Sweden, and no immigrants are not going to fight for it.
No, well, I mean, they might fight for their own little clique, right, or their territory or something like that. But no, it's just there's an elephant in the room, and that's like our countries are being taken over by like other ethnic hostile groups. The only reason why Russia would ever do something, as far I mean. Unless there's some like fucking insane thing going on in the heads of these people or whatever, would be if some of those countries join NATO, which they're now is doing. I don't even think they'll go for Sweden first. It's like the only strategic thing people have talked about is like the Baltic island of Gotland, right? That might be something that they wanted to do, but not because we're Sweden, but because we're a NATO country. But Finland now, I don't know. We'll see what happens, right? After everything has happened, you can never throw in, you know, discount something. Anything could definitely happen. But it feels, again, that they're, like, intentionally pushing Russia. And I saw some comment by Medvedev, or whatever his name is, talking about how, like, the language is kind of weird. Wasn't, like, maybe the translation is kind of off or whatever. But it's, like, basically, prepare for nuclear war was, like, kind of he alluding to. It's, like, I don't know. It's crazy. They should just back off. And it's fine to have neutral buffer zones, right? And Sweden used to be that. Then you should remain that. The migrants is a bigger problem than Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Celebrate all is lost. Hi, neighbor. It says, great show as always. Hey, thank you.
Man. Appreciate thank it. You, hope neighbor. You're doing well. Thank you. Always good to see you guys. All right. So I think is that it for us today then? Well, definitely, guys, check out, as usual, the latest stuff we have up on our members' website. We'll be up there next here. Next thing coming up is another Weekend Warrior show. And, of course, we have tons of stuff there. And, oh, I guess we have to say, too, you did a second part to the interview.
I did, because what you don't know about this girl is she TP USA, Toilet Paper USA, they had a banter and all that, but she started talking about coming down on Israel first, and she started talking about who controls the media. She did this little video about Zionists and Jews, and kind of got her in a little bit of trouble. So we talk about that in the second part.
Indeed. Cool stuff. Yeah. Yep. No, again, net positive. You might not agree on the religious stuff, and nor should you. And in fact, I didn't mention in the beginning, but it's like, I don't think, is that how weak your faith is or your beliefs? You know what I mean? Like, as soon as there's a little bit of something else that kind of, it doesn't even question, like, let's say you're a pagan or atheist, maybe, or something like that. It doesn't even, it's just like, all right, that's what she thinks. Moving on. It's not really that hard. But anyway, it's all right. It's okay. But
it's about bridging the audiences, too. I mean, she has a lot of young girls that follow her. Yeah. Isn't it better that they come over and learn about us?
You'd think so, right? But again, that's why I think the majority of negative comments is just literally like just JIDF.
Or yeah, people that don't have her best interests in mind. I have another really cool interview coming out with Dimitra. She's actually Greek, but she grew up in Germany. But she did an English translation of Practical Idealism, the Kalergi
Plan. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's cool.
And so we're putting together a really good talk about that. But it was mandatory reading for her in high school in Germany.
That's fascinating, why, actually. Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm gonna actually read the translation of the book and try and pick out other things. And, you know, we're going to make it a good one. So
yeah,
look out for that.
Yeah, that's good. There's a lot there with Kalergi, too. And again, people say, well, he's just an obscure account. No one cared about him. Yeah, but everything he proposed to basically come true, right? Yeah. Even the down to the anthem and the symbols that was used. And there's a prize now called the Kalergi Prize, right, that people actually get. There's a Charlemagne Prize, too, but there's a Kalergi Prize, right? They're like, oh, good job on the replacement this year. Here you go. Here's an award for you, right? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, join us over at redassmembers.com, of course, for more members-exclusive content. You can also sign up over at subscribestar.com/redice. Always remember to send us an email or a DM when you sign up. That way we can let us know your username. That way we can activate your account. You can also use enterprisegm.live/redicetv. There you can do a month-to-month subscription, $10 a month, or you can do a one-time payment. And if you do a one-time payment, we have subs from 3 months up to 2 years. And of course, it gets cheaper per month the longer sub you get as well. So basically we have, what is that not visible now? Okay, let me go over here. So basically, 30-35% off if you get a 2-year subscription. So it's much cheaper. We have a Cash App. We do have an e-check option for the U.S. audience. We have crypto, or we accept crypto. And here's a mailing address as well that you can check out if you want to prefer the good old-fashioned method. All right. I think that's it for us today. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. We'll be back with more soon. Any closing words here, Lana?
That's it for now.
All right. Take care, everybody. Don't be black-pilled. There's good stuff coming up because of this. Great time. Great opportunity. That's how I get it viewed. See you later. Take
care. Bye. Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.